Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah, salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Honorable brothers in presence, viewers of Madani channel, there are many excellences of reciting Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, Sayyiduna Abu Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala and states, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya inda qabri, whoever recites salat upon me near my grave, near my shrine, wukkila biha malakun yablughani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints an angel to convey that salat to me. Wa kufiya biha amra dunyahu wa akhirati, and that recitation of salat will be sufficient for that person's worldly matters and matters of the hereafter as well. Wa kuntu lahu shahidan aw shafi'an, and I will be a witness or an intercessor for him. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this one narration, so many excellences of reciting salawat ala al-nabi have been mentioned. Therefore, one should try and recite salawat ala al-nabi in abundance. Allah ta'ala will not only grant you his closeness, but closeness to his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan, the speech. The Prophet ﷺ said, Afdalul amal an-niyatus sadiqah. The greatest amal is what? Having a truthful intention. Let's make the intention that we're here in the house of Allah, in the masjid, only to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are here to listen to sacred knowledge attentively, wholeheartedly, sincerely, so that we can act upon that knowledge, and also make the intention that whatever you remember from the knowledge, you will try your utmost to convey that knowledge to others as well, inshallah. Like this, whenever you have an opportunity to do any good deed, you should endeavor to make good intentions in abundance. Believe me when I say this, somebody who has that habit of making good intentions, he can turn one deed into multiple deeds because of the intentions behind it. He can turn the reward of that good deed into manifold reward, multiple reward. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this tawfiq, this ability to make good intentions prior to performing any permissible, any good deed, inshallah. There were two people from Bani Israel. One was a devout worshipper. He was an abid. And the other person, he was very sinful. The first person was so renowned amongst the Bani Israel as the worshipper from Bani Israel. That was his title, the Abid from Bani Israel. The second person, because of his sinful ways, because of his transgressions, he was known as the shameless one from Bani Israel. Imagine being known as the shameless one from Bani Israel, from the entire nation. You know, somebody could be called the shameless one in his own area, in his own neighborhood, but being called shameless from the entire group of Bani Israel, imagine how that must have felt. Now this person who was a sinner, a grave sinner. One day he saw that a cloud was shading that pious and devout worshipper of Bani Israel. So he thought to himself, why don't I sit next to him? Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant me blessings for the sake of that abid, for the sake of this worshipper. Allah's mercy is descending on him. If I am in his proximity, if I am close to him, then maybe I will also be showered with mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he sat next to him. This thought came into his mind, this positive thought, sat next to him. Now, that worshipper, although he was an abid, although he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he didn't have in-depth knowledge regarding the traps of shaitan, the schemes and the plots of shaitan. Nor did he know much about spiritual diseases. But he was an abid. Now, when this sinner came and sat next to him, what did he do? He thought to himself, I'm such a pious worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm an abid. People know me, I'm renowned. This is what he was thinking. And this sinful person has come and sat next to me. That does not befit my status and rank. How can this person, this disgraceful, despicable person, come and sit next to me? I can't stand that. So what did he do? He told him to move. He said, go, move away from me. Obviously, he showed arrogance. He felt he was better than that person. He said to him, move away from me. Allahu Akbar. At that very moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revelation to the Prophet of the time and said, tell both of them to start their deeds afresh. Start their deeds all over again. Why? Because I have forgiven the sinner, the one who was known as the shameless one from Bani Israel. I have forgiven him. Why? Because of his positive thinking. And I have nullified the deeds of the worshipper. I've invalidated them. They no longer exist. So tell them to start afresh. And in another narration, it mentions that the cloud which was shading that worshipper now began shading the sinful person after he expressed remorse, regret, and repented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this account, so many things can be learned from this. Number one, we should never look down upon others. Whether we have a dunyavi, worldly bounty, we have some accolades, we've reached a certain rank in knowledge, in amal, in status and rank among society, never should one look down upon others. Why? Because this is takabbur. Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with a bounty, and now you must show gratitude to your Creator. You must be a thankful servant, and you must never think, oh, it's because of my own doing. Nobody helped me. I have achieved what I've achieved solely because of my efforts. And based on that, we begin to look down on others who are less in rank, maybe have less bounties, and we consider them inferior. And this is takabbur. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-kibru batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Arrogance is to reject the truth and to look down upon people. This is the trait of arrogant people. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Hasbum ri'im minash sharri an yahqira akhahu al-muslim. That it is sufficient of an evil for a person to despise his fellow Muslim brother. Look down upon him, consider him lowly. So this thought should never cross our mind that we are better than others. In fact, the awliya Allah, they teach us, they say that whenever you feel that arrogance is creeping in, whenever you feel that you are better than others, consider your beginning. Consider how you came to this world. Consider how you were born. Those weak few years of your life right at the beginning, where you were totally dependent upon your parents. They fed you, they clothed you. And when a person begins to think like this, and then he also reflects upon old age, if he reaches old age, again, people will need to look after him for these things. People will need to be around him. A person becomes senile at times. A person suffers from dementia, all sorts of issues. When a person remembers these stages of life, how he actually came into being, what was the method, that he was born from a drop of semen, impure. And when he reflects upon his lowliness, his incapability, and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will never express arrogance. The ulama write regarding Fir'aun, Pharaoh, and why he was so arrogant, is because for a lengthy period of time, he never suffered any illness, no headache, no nothing. He felt he was invincible. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him that he is not invincible. Everything is under the control and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should never succumb to or fall prey to these satanic whispers that we are something. And we learn from this account of the two people from Bani Israel that when you begin to think you're something, Allah ta'ala will invalidate your deeds. All those deeds that this person did, this Abid from Bani Israel, the moment he thought ill of his brother, he was arrogant towards the other person from Bani Israel, what happened? Allah ta'ala nullified his deeds. That effort he put in, that time he put in, all gone to waste. Allahu Akbar. We also learn from this account that we should think positively. Always have a positive thought. This is something that we should develop in our lives. We should be optimists, not pessimists. We shouldn't look at the negative in every single situation. Negativity pulls one back, and positivity propels one. Positivity leads to success. So from this waqi'ah, we learn that the moment that that person from Bani Sa'il, who was a sinner, when he thought positively, when he thought, I'll sit next to my pious brother, maybe I'll be showered with mercy as well, Allah Ta'ala showered him with mercy because of his positive thinking. And we should always avoid negative thinking. Some people think too often, think too much, overthink. And this is harmful. Remember, our bodies, we can't be overly thinking all the time, overly stressed. It takes a toll, it has an effect. There are so many effects of depression, anxiety, stress on the body. People who study things, these things will tell you. It has an effect on your vital organs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, over 1400 years ago, told us that don't overthink things. Especially things that have gone now. Especially things that have passed by now. They're in the past. You've passed that stage now. For you to constantly think, oh, if I had done this, oh, if I had done that, if I had not done this, if I had not done that. Listen to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not say if. If some calamity befalls you, do not say, if I had done such and such a thing, then such and such a thing would have happened. Rather, you should say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Beautiful words. The Prophet ﷺ said, you should replace that thinking, if only if I did this. You should replace it with what? قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ. Allah has decreed. وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. And whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, will occur, will happen. Everything is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, if you are guilty of this overthinking and always saying if only, what does that lead to? فَإِنَّ لَوْ تَفْتَحُ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Indeed, low, the kalima low. In Arabic, low refers to if. When you constantly say if, it opens the door to the amal of shaitan, the action of shaitan. What does that mean? The shaitan knows that this person now is weak in faith. The person isn't relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's relying upon asbab. He's relying upon his own efforts. Otherwise, he wouldn't be saying, if only, if this, if that, because he knows everything is decreed by Allah Azza wa Jal. Now when Shaitan sees him, this person doesn't have great conviction, this person is suffering, this person is grief-stricken, and he's looking for people to blame, then Shaitan starts working on him. And before you know it, this person, Allahu Akbar, has so much negativity going through him, and he even acts upon that negativity at times as well. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi also says that this hadith is talking about worldly actions. If I had studied this, then maybe I would become this. If I had done this at this stage of my life, then maybe this wouldn't have happened now. Worldly actions. But as for, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, as for thoughts regarding piety, righteous deeds, then one should reflect upon those. That you missed an opportunity to do something right, for example. For example, in the past, somebody had enough funds to go for Hajj, for example, and he didn't go. And now he's saying, oh, it's gone more expensive now, I can't afford it, or my financial situation has changed now. For him to reflect and think about that, that if I had gone then, maybe other doors would have opened, maybe I'd have become pious by now. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, thinking like this is not bad. This is actually a kind of worship as well. It's a kind of ibadah, excellent ibadah, he describes it. But what the hadith is referring to, the prohibition, is thinking about worldly things. That, oh, if I had, you know, done this job there, then this wouldn't have happened, or I wouldn't have been in this situation now. Those things are decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for your deen, there it's not wrong for you to reflect and think, or if I had studied properly, I would be able to understand the deen much better now. And remember, there's no limit as well. A person can adopt righteous deeds and study at any moment of life. Obviously, youth is the optimum age, the best age, but throughout one's life, one can study and do good as well, inshallah. Now, the past, instead of reflecting upon it, and instead of using it to fuel your negativity day and night, what you should do, and a wise person, what they do is they learn from their past. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed humankind with long-term memory as well. That sometimes something happens in our life, we want to forget about it. We want to erase it. It's always there. And here, the writers say that this is a great blessing of Allah that you're able to remember things from the past. Why? Because there'll come a time in your life surely where you learn from that moment. You may face a similar situation, or you're in a situation where what you went through will help you in making your decision, or something of a similar nature. So learning from your past is what wise people do, and overthinking about the past, worrying because of the past, what's gone, will not benefit. What we learn from this account of Bani Israel is that having a good opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is key in the life of a believer. Always have positive thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's wajib. It's necessary for a believer to have good thoughts regarding his creator. That, Ya Allah, whatever happens, you know best the wisdom behind it. My intellect is limited. I am deficient in this regard. I don't know the wisdom behind what happened. But Ya Allah, you know, I am content with your decree. When you have a positive thought about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's far-reaching. You not only benefit in this life, but in the akhirah as well. In one hadith, Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Ana inda dhanni abdi bi. I am as my slave thinks of me. Meaning, I will act, I will carry out, or I will do whatever I do in accordance to the abd's way of thinking. Meaning, whatever he thinks about me. The hadith continues, فَلْيَظُنَّ ظَانٍ مَا شَاءَ. So let the thinker think as he wishes. So when you have a positive thought regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this will happen, this will be the outcome, Allah ta'ala will carry it out accordingly. And if you have a negative thought, then the consequences are negative as well. In this regard, there's an account regarding a person who was very sinful. And people would obviously admonish him, people would rebuke him. When he died, in this state of sinfulness and transgression, someone saw him in a dream and said to him, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treat you or deal with you? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave me. He said, for what reason did Allah jalla wa ala forgive you? And he said, simply for the reason that I had a positive assumption regarding my Creator, my Lord, that He would forgive me. Because of my thinking that Allah ta'ala would forgive me, He forgave me. This is the fruit, the thamara, the consequence, or you could say the outcome, the beneficial outcome of having positive thought regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you just heard the hadith as well. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi says, the hadith means, whatever a slave thinks of me, I will deal with him accordingly. So always have positive thoughts regarding Allah Jalla wa Ala. Sayyiduna Jabir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu narrates a similar hadith regarding Husnul Dhan Billah. He said, 3 days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this world, 3 days before he departed from this world, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave this nasiha. He said, La yamutanna ahadun minkum illa wa huwa yuhsinu billahi dhan. That none of you should die except in a state that you have a positive assumption regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think positively regarding Allah jalla wa ala. Allah ta'ala will deal with you accordingly. So these are advices that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us. The Quran mentions aqwam, nations who thought wrong regarding the Creator. They had negative assumptions and they faced the repercussions as well. For example, in Al-Quran al-Kareem Surah Sajda, verse 23, we're told, ذَلِكُمْ ظَنُّكُمُ الَّذِي ظَنَنْتُمْ بِرَبِّكُمْ أَرْدَاكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Translation, and that was your assumption which you believed about your Lord. It ruined you, so you became among the losers. So there was a nation who was destroyed. Why? Because they thought ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had a bad opinion of Allah jalla wa ala. In Siratul Jinan, the tafsir, it states regarding this verse, we learn that having a bad opinion of Allah Almighty is the way of non-Muslims. That qawm didn't believe in Allah. And the one who has a bad opinion will be from among those who are ruined and face loss. Allahu Akbar. And conversely, thinking positively, having a positive mindset leads to success, inevitably. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Quran al-Kareem, وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. And consult with them in matters. Then when you have firmly intended an action, place your trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who trust Him. Now what does this verse teach us? It teaches us three things. First of all, we should seek advice from experts in a given field. Field that we want to enter, we want to learn about, seek advice from the experts. Number two, once we have sought advice and decided to do that thing, we should make a firm intention. And number three, we should have trust in Allah Almighty. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Dawood rahmatullahi alayhi asked, what is tawakkul? Listen to this answer. He said, inna tawakkula husnu dhanni billah. That reliance is having a positive assumption regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I rely upon Allah and I believe this will be the outcome. I believe He will aid me to achieve the desired outcome. So having a positive thinking is very, very important. Let's listen to some examples of good opinions, good assumptions and bad assumptions as well. Number one, it says, fulfill the conditions required for sincere repentance and then have hope that Allah Almighty will forgive you. As Muslims, as human beings, we commit sin. It happens on a daily basis. It can happen. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Khairul khata'in at-tawwabun," that the best of sinners are those who repent. Now, when we repent, we should have this firm thought in our mind that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven us. A believer should never repent sincerely, wholeheartedly, and then think that he won't be forgiven. When he repents, he should have this firm intention. And one thing to note is that there are arkan of tawbah as well. Merely touching the ears and saying tawbah, tawbah, and some people even do that smilingly as well. That's not tawbah, Islamically speaking. There are three pillars. Number one, when you do tawbah, first of all, you have to acknowledge that you sinned. You have to acknowledge that you've done wrong. Now, people who smile, they touch their ears. Do you think deep down they think they've done wrong? Otherwise, why would they be smiling? Someone who knows he's done wrong, he wouldn't be smiling. He'd be penitent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So number one, you have to acknowledge that you did wrong. You have to admit and confess that you did wrong. The second pillar of tawbah is that you should have regret and remorse. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An-nadmu tawbah," that regretfulness is tawbah. So it's the main pillar, you could say, of tawbah. You have to have regret. Why did I do that? And the third pillar of tawbah, the scholars explain that making a firm intention to not return to that sin. That I'm not going to return to that sin. And if you are sincere in your repentance, you fulfill these three pillars, and Allah Ta'ala will aid you and protect you from that sin. So when we do tawbah, we should have this yaqeen, this certainty that Allah Ta'ala has forgiven us. This is the positive mindset that we should have. Allah has forgiven us. Allah has wiped out that sin. Another thing, when you offer your salah, you learn the theory of salah, of course, the faraid of salah, even the sharait, the preconditions of salah, the wajibat of salah, the sunan, etc. And then you offer the salah as best as you can. After that, you should have this positive assumption that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your salah. Another example, if you're studying, strive as hard as you can. Work as hard as you can, and then have hope that you will be successful in your exams. That when you put the effort in, Allah Ta'ala will not waste your effort. If you have given the due time to something, to a course, study, or anything, you've put the effort in, you haven't done a half-baked attempt, you've been sincere in your efforts as well, you've been determined, you have a goal in mind, Allah Ta'ala will make you successful. Place your tawakkul in Him. And if opposite to this, somebody is very lazy, somebody doesn't exhaust himself, somebody does the bare minimum, and he hopes to achieve the greatest score, the highest marks, then normally that's not possible. So what you put in is what you get out. Insan will only achieve what he strives for. That what he strives for, he will attain. Now, positive thinking. Then opposite to that, you have what? Negative assumptions, negative thinking. Some people are overly negative. All the time, whenever you hear them speak, they're negative. They never take positives out of a situation. And sometimes because of that negativity, they even transfer that to others as well. It may be the case that they have not been successful in a thing themselves, and then they'll discourage others as well. Or maybe they just have that nature. And when their child asks them about something, they say, "Oh no, don't go into that. Don't do this, don't do that. You'll fail. You'll never succeed." Or they'll say certain remarks that makes the child frustrated. Or they lose heart. They'll say, "Oh, you haven't done it properly. You know, what were you thinking? You'll remain a failure," etc., etc. Now, as Muslims, if we can't be of benefit, then at the same time, we shouldn't be harming others as well. In fact, ulama have written complete books on how positive affirmations have changed the lives of people throughout the ages. That a scholar said something to a student, and that student took it on board, became the alim of his time. So like this, ulama have complete books on this. If you can benefit someone, if you can say something that will lift their spirits, which will help them, which will give them confidence, then you should do so. But you should never be amongst those who discourage someone, demotivate someone, put someone off regarding something. So we were discussing, having positive assumptions. We've come to the end of the bayan, otherwise there are a lot more that could be said. Having positive assumptions will open doors for you, will bring you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will grant you the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And negativity and having negative assumptions, just as we heard in the powerful account right at the beginning, the two people from Bani Israel, one was pious, one was a sinner. The pious showed arrogance, Allah nullified his deeds. And the sinful one wanted to become close to the pious one. Why? Because he thought he will also be showered with mercy. Because of this positive assumption, rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave the sinful person. And according to one narration, the cloud of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to shade him. This is why we have to be positive in life. Have tawakkul in Allah, husnul dhan billah. Have a good assumption regarding your creator. Inshallah, you'll be successful in the dunya. And more importantly, in the planes of resurrection in the akhirah as well. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi al-Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you.